So let's take the first part. You need to first of all know God. It is essential to understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's also essential to your salvation. There's some people say it's impossible to know God. He's inscrutable. That's a big word that just means it's impossible to know God. You can't understand Him. And I will admit, we cannot understand God in His fullness. His ways are beyond our thoughts. There's things that God knows that we can't even fathom in our mind. I cannot fathom eternity. I cannot fathom what heaven will be, even though I read about it and I want to go there. But we can know God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's John 17, verse 3. So life eternal, eternal life, that is salvation, is it not? To obtain eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. Those are the two important figures that we must learn. But I'm going to tell you, you'll never know God because He's omnipresent. He has no form, no beginning, no end. But we can know Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God. In fact, when Paul was speaking of the preeminence of Christ, he said, who is the image of the invisible God? And then he answers that question. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things made, or all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Who's He talking about? Jesus Christ. If I read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, I said He was the express image of God. It says so, Hebrews 1 3. Who being, and it's talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let me ask you, the God that is omnipresent, where would His right hand be? Think about it. He fills all space in the universe. There is no place where God is not at. Where would His right hand be? This is an expression of the power. Where is the power? Where is your greatest power? Unless you're a southpaw, left hand like me. I write left-handed, but my right hand is always more powerful than my left hand. If I had to arm wrestle you, I would throw the right hand up there and still lose. But, amen, that's where my most powerful hand is. God's power resides in Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
Now it says express image of the person. Now, let's look at Philip. Jesus was talking about the Father. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient, or it suffices us. Show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I heard a preacher one time saying, oh, that's kind of like a husband and wife. They become one. Because many people believe that God is three persons. I don't believe God is three persons. I believe there's one God, and His name is Jesus. And I believe God is a spirit, and that Jesus Christ declares Him. We can see God through the face of Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus is saying. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I had to ask that preacher, well, if that's just like my wife, then can I say that if you've seen me, you've seen my wife? No. We're two different persons. And if there's two different persons, then we're talking about more than one God. Are we not? As I said, this is a revelation. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen.
Did that not turn any lights on? He's the image of God. If you want to see God, you're going to be looking at the face of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, it says there's one sat on the throne, not three. There was not one sitting there and another one on the right hand and one on the left hand, some wuggering around like a dove bird or something like that. No, let's look on. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy. Now this, at those days, when they were preaching this, there was no controversy over it. Not in the church. Those that the God of this world had blinded, there was controversy. How many of you believe that the Catholic Church is the real true church? Well, the Trinity doctrine was developed by the Catholic Church. Not in the beginning, but 315 years after Jesus was speaking these words. And that was just the beginning. It wasn't really developed until maybe 400 years after. In other words, the Trinity doctrine was never taught by the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet, almost all the church world is preaching the Trinity doctrine. Why? Because they come out of the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Unfortunately, the Catholic Church recognizes all Protestant denominations that baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as just mixed up Catholics. You Baptist folks, you're just a mixed up Catholic. You Presbyterians, you're just a mixed up Catholic. In fact, if you look in the Catholic Encyclopedia, you will find that even the Catholic Church in the beginning baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's in their own encyclopedia. They admit that. They started baptizing babies. Well, there's a lot of Protestants reject that. They've done a lot of things. They worship Mary. A lot of people reject that. If you got your doctrine from a harlot, why would you want to not examine everything that you got to make sure you got the right salvation plan? The great salvation. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, that means revealed, in the flesh. The only way you're going to see God is in the flesh is to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's why Jesus said, how long have I been with you, Thomas, and you don't know me, or Philip, you don't know me. If you've seen me, you've seen God or the Father. But God is also not just manifested in flesh, but He's also justified in the Spirit. That is the same God. He is a spirit. And how was he manifested in the flesh? The Spirit of God was in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He preached unto the Gentiles. Oh, he's seen by angels. Angels could see his invisible image. How did God make us in his own image if he didn't have an image? If he's omnipresent? It's because there was an invisible image of God. God created his own image so that his creation could actually see him.
Amen.
That's why the devil thought he was equal with him. He looked just like him. He says, hey, I'm even better looking than you. And that invisible image took on the form of a man in the birth of Jesus Christ. He preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. Who was received up into glory?
Jesus.
He ascended to the Father.
Amen.
Who's the Father?
Jesus.
Who's the Son? Who's the Holy Ghost? Let's look at it and break it down a little bit by Scripture. There's only one God. When Jesus was asked, what's the first commandment? Jesus responded, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mark 12, verse 29. There is not a Lord of the Old Testament and another Lord of the New Testament. There's not a God of the Old Testament and a different God of the New Testament. But this same God may have come in different forms. All right? God is a spirit, the Bible says. I've been saying that, but here's the Scripture. God is a spirit, according to John chapter 4, verse 24. He told that to the woman at the well in Samaria. And he says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. God is the Father of creation. That spirit is the Father of creation. And it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God is a spirit.
Amen.
And because he created everything that was created, he is the Father of creation. That's why Jesus called him the Father. But there was another reason why Jesus called him the Father. God is the Father of Jesus. That Spirit of God is the Father of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In other words, is the Holy Ghost a spirit?
Yes.
Is the Spirit of God a spirit? There's not two spirits. The Holy Ghost is the Father that Jesus referred to. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that created the entire world and everything that was in it. And then when Jesus was born, that Spirit actually overshadowed Mary and caused her to become pregnant without ever being with a man in sexual relations. And then inhabited the body of Jesus Christ. Even as a little baby, the Holy Ghost was in him. And yet, he was man and God. He was 100% man, 100% God. Not 50% God and 50% man. If Joseph had been his father, then he wouldn't have had no God in him. But the Spirit of God was his father, or the Holy Ghost was his father. So the Holy Ghost and the Father are one and the same.
Amen.
They're just different titles. That's like me being a father and a husband. To my children, I'm their father, but to my wife, I'm her husband. Amen. So God is the Father of Jesus. So when he was doing miracles and he says, it's not I that did this, but the Father did it. It was the Holy Ghost. It's not me that was, I was praying for Brother Ray, but if he gets any blessing out of it, it's going to be the Holy Ghost that does it.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is in his church.
Amen.
There's only one God who's the Father of creation and is the Father of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was God incarnate. And what that means is he is God manifested or revealed in the flesh. God became man. Why did God become man? You know Jacob's vision when he saw a ladder that went from heaven to earth? God's at the top, man's at the bottom. And what made the connection between God and man? The man, Jesus Christ. He is that ladder. The angels ascend, they go and come, amen, through Jesus, and we've got to go to heaven through Jesus as well. There's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. Not them, but him. Amen?
Amen.
The Son. He was the Son in redemption. In 1 Timothy 3:16, remember I read that to you? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or revealed in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and was received up into glory. And why? Why believe this? Well, there's other people preaching other things. They're not preaching that. And the Bible says, beware. Colossians 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, or the Catholic Church, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him, not in them, but in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is not a member of the Godhead. The Godhead is in Jesus.
Amen.
He's not one-third God, and the Father is one-third God, and the Holy Ghost is one-third God, and they make up one God together. He is God. The fullness of the Godhead resides in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father, but it is also the Spirit of Christ. We also call it the Comforter. Amen? The Holy Ghost. See, God was known as the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. We're in the regeneration. God's regenerating, restoring man through his church. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter besides me, he says, that he may abide with you forever. See, Jesus was a man in flesh. He could only be in one place in one time. Of course, the Spirit in him is everywhere. See. But what he wanted was his church to have the same glory that he has when he was on the walk of the shores of Galilee in sandals. He wanted that same Spirit that was in him to be in us.
Amen.
That's why he said, when I go unto the Father, when I go back to heaven, when I ascend back to heaven, to send you another comforter. You won't know him like you know me, but amen, it's going to be me. Amen, I'm going to be with you and in you. Today I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. Oh, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him. Why do they not know? They haven't got the revelation. I'm praying for you to get the revelation. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's one thing to have the Spirit of God with you, and he's here today, and we can all feel the goosebumps sometimes, but it is a different thing to have him in you.
Amen.
He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comfort. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In other words, he is the comforter. It's not the third person of the Godhead has took the place of the second place of the Godhead who once, amen, belonged to the first place of the Godhead. No, we only need one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's one God. So he's the Son in redemption. So he's the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Comforter. Now since Pentecost, God, since Jesus left in bodily form, and the Holy Ghost come to the church and filled the believers on the day of Pentecost, the church then became the body of Christ. Just as Jesus was the body of Christ when he was here. The same Spirit that was in Jesus now abides with us. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Each individual member that has the Holy Ghost. This church right here is not the temple of God, this building. But the church is the people in it.
Amen.
And when you have the Holy Ghost and you come to church, you're bringing God with you.
Amen.
You're not going to visit God, you're bringing him with you. And as we all gather in the name of Jesus, he has promised that he's not only going to be in the heart of those that believe and are filled with the Holy Ghost, but he'll be in the church meetings at the same time.
Yes.
Amen.
For where two or three, Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's why we worship in spirit and in truth. Because this Spirit is among us and in us. That's his church. Now, God, there's one God. God is a spirit. That spirit has come in three major ways, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the name of God is Jesus. That's a revelation too. Nowhere in the Bible is the name of God revealed in the Old Testament. Oh, they call him Jehovah. They call him El Shaddai. Lord God Almighty. I am that I am, or whatever. Yahweh. Jehovah Witness trying to tell me that. They try to tell me about Jehovah. I says, I know who Jehovah is. You don't. They said, Jehovah is God. I said, that's right. But Jesus is Jehovah. The word Jehovah, the Jewish people, it was considered improper to write the name of God down.
That's right.
So when they wrote the scriptures, they put a substitute for God's name. They wrote the Hebrew letters, J, which we transliterate, is J-H-V-H. And when you pronounce those letters, J-H-V-H, you get Jehovah. And you know what that means? When you go through the Bible in the King James Version, the Old Testament, almost every place where the letters J-H-V-H is at, it translates as Lord. Folks, when you got a revelation that Jesus is Lord, it means Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. God's name is Jesus. Let me give you the scriptures for that. First of all, we know that the name of the Son is Jesus, don't we? Matthew 1:21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that name came from heaven. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus has obtained that name by inheritance. You know, I obtained the name of Stennett by inheritance. Linda, you got the name of Thomas by marriage. But he got it by inheritance. You become one with him. You see, you could take the name of Jesus by marriage. You took the name of Thomas. You see, when you come to Jesus and join His church and join His family and become a son of God by the indwelling Spirit of God, you become a family of God. That's the family name, Jesus. But before I get to that, I think I jumped ahead. So since it's on my slides here, I'm going to throw it out of whack here. In John chapter 5, verse 43, now Jesus is the name of the Son, right? John 5:43 says, I am come in my Father's name. That's Jesus saying that. I come in my Father's name. That's Brother Stanley come in his Father's name. I come in my Father's name. It's an inherited name. And you receive me not, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So the Father's name is Jesus. If he come in the family name. The Comforter's name is Jesus. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, the Father, or the Spirit of Christ, the Son, whom the Father will send in my name. So the Holy Ghost is coming in the name of Jesus. That's why he said, I'm coming to you. Because he knew that the God in him was the same Spirit that created the world, that inhabited the child Jesus, and was now in the church. Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, Jesus is the only name given. Do you know when Jesus prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, I declared unto them thy name. Well, show me any name that was ever declared other than the name of Jesus. His name, Jesus, is what's been declared. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're talking about this great salvation. It comes through the name of Jesus. The Bible says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name beginning at Jerusalem. That's why they baptized in the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. And here it says that Jesus is the family name. For this cause, this is Paul speaking, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Father? Father of creation, the Spirit of God, the one God that was in Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So Jesus is the family name. When I married my wife Debbie, and we become one, she took my name. And if she had refused to take my name, I probably would have growled and groveled and all that. But I may not have married her, I don't know. But I don't believe if you refuse to take the name of Jesus in salvation, you are neglecting to take the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I want to just cover the basics of what I covered. Knowing God is essential. To know God, though, is to know Jesus. There's only one God who is a spirit. And we have known him in three different ways, both in the scriptures and throughout history, as the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration that is with us today. And God's name is Jesus. Now, if anybody bring any other gospel than that, according to the Bible, it says, let him be accursed. That's the gospel that the